Hello, this is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, and I am here with non-birding Bill.
Hello.
And we have a goal of podcasting and talking about birds. Actually, this is the podcast that you want to listen to if you want to hear some bird information, some opinions on that bird information, as well as pop culture references. Wow, how did that get there?
What the hell is going... What?
I don't know. I just suddenly had this impromptu thing in my head. It's like, oh, maybe I won't say that it's our goal to podcast. Maybe that's getting old.
But you said that first.
I was trying to mix it up. I was trying to keep it real.
No, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
I don't. No one knows what they're doing in a podcast.
A little context here. Sharon is leaving town.
I'm a little stressed, and I feel like we need to do a podcast and because your tax dollars are sending me to Florida for 2 weeks.
What she specifically said to me was, how would you feel about doing a short podcast?
Well, I am short.
So, let's see how that goes. All right, what news do you have for us?
Well, we have more ivory gull drama.
Okay.
So the
both birds have been dead, but two more have been found.
No. Okay, so one died.
Sure.
Then the other one was still there.
Sure.
And then it disappeared on Saturday. People were looking at it on Saturday. Everybody was having a great time. And then it flew off and it didn't fly back.
Okay.
And it wasn't seen again on Sunday. So here we are recording this on January 13th.
Which is Wednesday.
Yeah. So something crazy happened.
Okay.
Yesterday, there was an ivory gull, an immature ivory gull, reported up in Ely, Minnesota, which is about 100 miles, give or take, of Duluth.
Sure. Wait, Ely is north of Duluth?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You've been there.
I know, but I have no geographical sense of where it is.
Yeah, it's north of Duluth. Okay. It's not near Lake Superior. Sure. So I don't know if this gull was like, holy shit, I went the wrong way. I need to head back up north.
I'm going to hang around some wolves.
Yeah, really. So a bird was being mobbed in an Ely backyard this morning. The ivory gull was on the ground and seemed a bit traumatized. So you're like, wait, what? A bird was being mobbed. So apparently the ivory gull was seen in Ely in a backyard being mobbed by ravens.
A different bird?
The presumption is that this is most likely the same ivory gull. Now, because it's not banded, we can't say that for sure. But the chances of there being a third immature plumaged ivory gull in Ely is pretty darn slim.
Okay.
So it gets better. It gets better.
All right,
the woman feels bad because ravens are attacking this poor ivory gull, and ravens are going to be bigger than an ivory gull. So she manages to box it up and take it to a vet.
Oh.
I know. And the vet, so they examined it, and they even had a consultation with a local wildlife rehabilitator in Ely. And then this is a report from Bill Teft, who I am on the board of the Minnesota Naturalist Association with. And it says, by the time I arrived at the vet clinic to see if it needed to be transported, it had recovered and promptly flew off when given the opportunity for release. Hopefully it can get out of town before the ravens are able to relocate it. It's got to be the same bird. I mean, we can't prove for sure that it's the same bird, but
nobody in Duluth has seen this bird.
Not since, no.
Okay.
No. This has got to be the same bird.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough. But would you change your plans assuming you had not seen this bird right now, would you go up and see this bird in Ely?
I would, but, I mean, no, I would not go to Ely, absolutely not.
Oh.
No.
Ely's too far?
No, let me clarify.
3.5 hours is too far, but 2.5 hours.
In the winter? Yeah. Sure. Okay. I mean, with unpredictable storms and roads. I mean, Duluth is nice because it's a pretty straight shot. As long as you're not driving in the middle of a snowstorm, it's going to be an easy drive up there. The streets are going to be cleared. It's bada bing, bada boom. Ely? That's another 100 miles north. There better be a great gray owl up there. That when it gets to Ely, that suddenly is no longer a day trip for me. That's an overnight trip, and it's cold.
Okay, I have something I want to bring up. I have a link. I have a thing I want to do. before we get too far into this short podcast.
This better be about David Bowie.
It is not.
Well, why did you tell me I'm not allowed to talk about David Bowie, and then all of a sudden you're just like, I'm going to spring this link on you?
Because this was unsolicited. A couple of pictures I was sent from our friend Jeremy Stomberg, who is a game designer. It is a game called Flock.
No.
A game by David J. Mortimer from AEG. He sent me two pictures. One is of the front picture, and one is
great. Great podcasting right now because people
is of. Well, I'll make sure to post these pictures. One of the and a picture of the back of the box, which is birds of a feather flock together.
I'm not buying this game just because of that.
Lead the most impressive flock through feeding, nest building, and hatching. Selecting the actions is simple, but once one bird flies, so do all the others. Can you time your actions to take advantage of when the flocks fly? So this is, and we have played bird games before.
Yeah, actually, we've been playing a kind of a fun one mm-hmm. called Birds of a Feather.
Sure.
By Teal Fristo
mm-hmm.
that I got from a Kickstarter campaign.
So Jeremy has sent me a picture of this game, and I think we should probably get this in place.
You're not going to even show me the picture of the game?
Well, sure. Well, no, it's just a picture of the box, if you want to see the picture of the box.
So is this a game that Jeremy's designing, or is this...
No, it's just something that he sent me from, probably from his work.
That's special.
Yeah.
That's really great.
But he just completely, you know...
Hey, Jeremy, why don't you have me design a bird game for you? It'll be accurate and fun. What?
You have just
described what was with the rooster crow?
Two contrary concepts that a game will be accurate about birds and be fun.
You can be accurate and be fun.
No, you can't.
We could turn that Star Wars miniatures game that we are playing constantly.
Oh, my God.
We could make that, like...
Oh, my God.
Instead of, you know, TIE Fighters and X-Wings and A-Wings, we could have it be Cheer Falcons going down on some pigeons.
I love that. In your mind, Star Wars translates into accurate science fact-based
No, birds. Because you would have certain moves that your pigeons could do, just like there are certain moves the TIE Fighter can do. Certain moves that your Jir Falcon can do, just like certain moves that your A-Wing can do.
So what's the strength of the laser beams that the Kestrel shoots out of its eyes?
Pew, 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 pew. And for people who don't know the story, this is all based on the time that I went to a raptor facility, and a new volunteer was giving a tour, and... She had all the facts, they just got turned around a bit in her brain.
She misunderstood the fact that Kestrels can see in the ultraviolet range into Kestrels shoot lasers from their eyes.
No, she was like, Kestrels shoot UV rays out of their eyes to find prey. So it's just like, pew, 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 pew. So that's when I think of Kestrels, I always think of.
So thank you for Jeremy sending us that. I will post a link to the... place where you can buy that game, and maybe we'll buy.
I don't
game
think we need
it.
To. I think if that place wants to wants us to advertise their stuff, maybe they should buy
nonsense.
They should buy an ad. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, but I'm saying, and I'm just saying if Jeremy wants to plug where he works,
as opposed to X-Wing, where we will
X-Wing actually makes the place Jeremy works actually makes X-Wing.
Yes.
A different friend of ours actually helped with X-Wing.
Screw you for making a bird game. All right, what other news stories do you have for us?
Okay, so in other exciting bird news, the great kiskadee that was seen in South Dakota. So apparently we reported earlier in the podcast that there were more than one kiskadee, quite possibly three. That was never substantiated, even though the blog that I read from someone from the South Dakota Ornithologist Union sounded like it was. Everyone just pretty much said, it's just one kiskadee. There's not three. So,
sure.
So anyway, it's died. You cannot see the South Dakota kiskadee anymore.
So this bird from the southwest has died in the North Dakota.
They
winter.
Tried really hard with putting out food and heaters and water for it, well, but you know, this tropical bird is just really not prepared for a South Dakota winter.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry for the bird watchers who wanted to see it. Okay.
Well, and it was there for a few months.
Sure.
Actually, so last night at Birds and Beers, we have a teenager that comes.
Mm-hmm.
He does not drink beer. He drinks vodka. No, he doesn't drink at all. He drinks soda. He's a very nice young man. And his mom comes with him to Birds and Beers.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about how she took him to South Dakota twice. Because the first time they went, they missed the kiskadee. And she drove him twice. And I'm like, that deserves an award, like Parent of the Year.
Oh, sure.
I'm kind of tempted to offer what I call realistic birding awards. And that's going to be our November Birds and Beers. Maybe we'll book the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Well, okay, that's an interesting idea. Like, giving, like, well, not awards, but, like, having, like, stories about the birds that you tried to see. That's an interesting idea. Like,
yeah.
Like, stories, like, you know, oh, I went
well, that's
to see
what
this.
Intrigued me, is, like, this parent. And this yeah. parent also took their kid to Duluth twice from the Twin Cities. And
sure.
Like, it's a 2.5 hour drive that's... up, 2.5 hour drive. South Dakota's more like a 4 hour, yeah. 3 to 4 hour drive over. So it's just, I'm just like, that's Parent of the
yeah,
Year.
No, that's,
you're going to
yeah,
drive your teenage
trip, yeah.
son over to get his life, or, and you missed it, and you're going to go back to
yeah.
South Dakota. Wow. Sorry, South Dakota, I know you're a lovely place, but wow.
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing, someone else was talking about how, oh yeah, my wife was really nice. I took the wife and kids up to go see the ivory gull in Duluth, and, you know, she hung out with me all day. I was like, there you go. That would be an award you would be qualified for, most tolerant spouse.
I'm not sure I would, because I'm not all that tolerant.
No, you wouldn't win, but I'd nominate you just out of spousal obligation.
Well, you know, I've been Birder of the Year 3 years in a row, so I don't really
yeah,
need
you
to
really
be nominated.
Well,
no,
and maybe
American
we can have the
ABA.
Birds and Beers version of Birder of the Year. You know, it's not just how many you have on your list. You know, maybe it's how many you've lost. Or
here's the deal. How about this? We have an award for Birder Spouse of the Year, and we don't have an event you have to go to. You just get to stay at home and do whatever the hell you want to do.
No.
Instead of
birding. So should this be a Birds and Beers award, or should this be a Birdic award? Should I just start offering awards to people?
Well, no, you totally
best,
should.
Best rare bird host? Because I heard, like, one house like that had a Lewis's well, woodpecker
no,
in Wisconsin.
No, you should do that.
They were, like, giving birders soup.
But the award is not you have to go to a burger event. The award is you don't have to go to a burger
no,
event.
No, no. This is I'm not talking about having this at a birding event. I'm talking
sure.
about having this at the Bryant Lake Bowl where you can have dinner
all
and
right.
drinks.
Okay.
And you could go bowling afterwards.
Yeah. I tell you what, when you come back from your trip, we'll figure out like what the appropriate award for a non-birding spouse would be. I will help you with this. Because you don't want to have an event.
A giant bottle of Advil.
Here's the deal, is that you don't want an event that a lot of birders are going to go to, because that would defeat the purpose.
I just want an event that people are going to go to and have fun. I think we could...
That's great, but I don't want a lot of birders at that event. If
screw you,
see
this
my
is not
point.
The non-birding Bill Award. This
I think
is
it
the
should
Sharon
be.
Steitler Bird Chick Award.
No, it's... Whoa, stop. How does an event for a birding spouse turn into the Sharon Steitler Award?
Okay, number one, this event isn't for birding spouses. I was just saying there's an award there. Like, best
no,
supporting
that
actor.
That is exactly how we started on this
no,
point.
No.
It's like the non-birder who helped a birder.
I was just saying it was a realistic birding award.
No! No. That's not what we're talking about.
You and your white privilege are stealing my awards.
This is not white. This is burnt privilege that we are talking. No, this is not your fucking award. This is my award.
No, it's my award show, and I'm going to give awards to
okay,
people who I
here's,
want.
See, here's the problem with your argument. We've recorded this, and people can hear what the conversation was.
You know what your problem
like,
with this argument
oh,
is?
This mom who drove her son up to Duluth twice to see a bird they didn't see deserves an award. Suddenly, this turns into the Bird Chick Award. That is not what's happening
no,
at all.
No. I'm not saying it. No, I'm just calling like the award. Should it be a Birds and Beers thing? Should it be a Bird Chick Award
no,
thing?
It should not! It needs to be the Non-Birding Bill Award for most tolerant non-birding... well, not spouse, but person.
Okay, if that's what it's going to be, then you're the one who's going to book the venue, advertise
great.
It,
great.
Solicit entry,
great.
Use your money to find the awards.
If you do not have a birding membership, you get in for free. If you do have a birding membership, you have to pay $20.
Which birding membership?
Any of them.
And I'll
if you
tell
have,
you what.
And
I'll
if you have multiple
you
birding memberships, you have to pay for each one.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have both our ceremonies at the same time.
No, we're not. Because I don't want birders at this event.
Well, no, the birders will come to my event and have a swell time. No, seriously.
No, they're not. Because, well, first of all, the birders are not going to go, oh, my God, that's going to be an uptown. It's at, you know, 7 o'clock. I'm going to be in bed by then. I'm not going to do that. I'm 80 years old and I've got a beard.
See, you have not
My been to hat has ear flaps on it.
You have not been to a Birds and Beers in a while. I was at a Birds and Beers till like 11 o'clock last night, and mm-hmm. it was a
Because you were all waiting for your check?
What?
So, Okay, so here we go. So, Sharon is going to be out of town. You are going... Here's what I want you to do. I want you to email Sharon at birdchick.com.
Don't make me give your email address out on this podcast, because I will I will sell you out. I will just put it in the blog entry.
Sharon at birdchick.com.
You send this shit to Non-Birding Bill.
Your nomination for Non-Birding Relation of the Year.
No, you have just like taken my award idea and you've just hijacked it. Send this to @BStyler on Twitter.
Okay.
Because... I was gonna like, oh, we're gonna have this, and then best birding host, and then
we
you
do
just...
not need another birding award.
There
we
aren't enough birding
an award
awards. Are you
for
kidding?
People who put up with you insane lunatics.
Fine, have your award ceremony. Don't send your nominations to me. Send them to Bill, and you sure. can organize your own ceremony.
That sounds fantastic.
You're not gonna do it,
birders. You are not allowed to come. You are not allowed to come, and you are most certainly not allowed
That's
to give...
That's a little personal, don't you think?
You are not allowed to show up, and you are not allowed to give boring speeches about all the birds you saw
so
and,
you're...
like, what the situation was. You are not allowed to give a State of the Birder speech. You are not allowed to talk about anything birding. You are just... We are just going to sit there and drink and talk about anything other than birds.
You are basing this on one award ceremony that we went to.
I'm also basing it on all the award ceremonies that you've told me about.
I wouldn't say that.
This is the non-birding award.
Well, apparently it is now, right. since you've taken my awards and hijacked it.
Oh, your awards. Okay, so what's your fascinating award going to be for?
I started telling you my ideas about what these awards mm-hmm. were about, and then you just got on your high horse and started prancing around.
So, we were talking about a mother who was not a birder, who
or
went
she
to
kinda
Duluth
is.
Twice... And suddenly, this is a birding award.
I was calling this the Realistic Birding Awards.
Okay, so what is the Realistic Birding Award for?
People who support birders. And some of these... Okay. Some of these aren't just going to be non-birding awards. Some of these are just going to be people doing cool shit in birding and not just listing or reporting rare birds.
Oh my god.
You know, I just think you should snuggle with your cockatiel tonight. Oh my god, I just remembered now all the horrible names people came up with cockatiels last night.
Oh, that's great. Great story.
No, they were replacing the cock part of the teal with other body parts.
Great, like elbow teal?
No, I was thinking more like clitoteal.
Yeah, hilarious.
I thought it was.
Hilarious burger.
So seriously,
humor.
Are you going to organize these awards, or am I going to have to like clean up your mess now?
I am
now?
Absolutely going to do this if people send me actual invitation, actual information.
Or you can just wait till I have my actual awards and my planning.
Oh boy! Oh, that's a real threat with all the traveling and stuff that you do. That
I'm just saying, one of us is an over planner.
Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing: is that I could do my thing entirely online. With, you know, people just sending me information about, like, all the shit that they had to put up front with from bird watchers. And just talk about, like, all the dumb shit that
okay,
they had to
I
go
want
through.
Someone to send me an award for having to deal with you.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you one of my 3 Birder of the Year awards that I've gotten from the ABC.
Oh, that reminds me, I think, somebody sent me something in reference to our pitta party from sure. the last podcast and said you were pitiful, which I kind of agreed with, except that pittas are cool.
That's the highlight of birder humor.
It's up there with clitoteal.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm not going to say what my absolute favorite one was. It's a word that you can imagine that I'm not going to say on this podcast because I'm already in trouble
right.
enough for being a bad
what
feminist.
What other news stories do we have to talk about here?
I don't think in the last podcast we talked that much about Noah Stryker and his achieving his world big year.
Oh, yeah, I think we skipped that entirely.
Yeah, because we got sidetracked with other things. So Noah Stryker, who was doing his gigantic birding big year around the world.
Noah Stryker thinks every bird in America needs to be seen.
No, he thinks every bird in the world.
Noah Stryker.
Noah Stryker.
All right, so
no,
Noah Stryker.
No, we gotta keep going. Noah Stryker.
How many birds did he see?
He ended up seeing 6,042 in 365 days.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's the most birds anyone has seen in the world.
I could probably do better.
No, you couldn't. Yeah, no, could. You couldn't. No. I probably could. You don't like getting up early.
Yeah, I probably could.
You really don't like bugs.
I really could.
No, you couldn't.
First of all,
give you bullshit birder of the year award.
Google all of these things that are going to be there.
Right. Actually, there. He did things a little differently. So sure. In the past, like the last time somebody did this, they just booked a whole bunch of birding tours and did mm-hmm. it. And they came home. Mm-hmm. Noah was like, screw coming home. I'm never coming home. I'm just going to stay out on the road. And he also used Birding Pal as part of his strategy. And Birding Pal is a way, I want to say Birding Owl, but Birding Pal, it's a website where you can hook up with birders and their couches. It's the Tinder of birding. Do they have a short life list? Swipe left.
Yeah. Okay, so, and I think there was a particular, a poignant end to this.
He, well...
That you mentioned to me earlier.
The last day when he was trying to get mm-hmm. up, he saw some super rare bird and possibly got the very first photo of that bird in the wild, but that wasn't fantastic. His 6,042nd bird. But, you know, a lot of people have been like, boy, I was like, how did he afford all this? And I thought from the beginning, I was like, dude's got to have a book advance.
Oh, he's got, like, sponsorships, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and it says in this article, buoyed by an advance from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, an agreement with the National Audubon mm-hmm. Society to publish a daily blog of his journey, preparations began.
Oh, sure.
Based on what I know about birding advances, that covered some of his trip.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He probably blew through that in, like, you know, the first 3 months of his trip. Yeah,
but anyway, it's cool. It's a book I'm going to be interested in reading. I know I'm going to read it. It's not going to be like when I read Kingbird Highway at the bird store, and I'm just going to be like, oh, God, why am I working at a retail store? I should be out on the road living hand to mouth and seeing as many birds
eating
as possible.
Eating cat food underneath a bridge during a rainstorm.
Yeah. That's not my idea of travel. But, you know, Noah had to deal with some pretty harsh conditions, and it's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to do that for a bird. That's great that you did. Not so much for me. I really like beds.
Cool. Well, congratulations to him.
Yeah, congratulations to him. He did it. I'm curious to see who's going to be...
Oh, I think that record will probably stand for a long time.
Oh, you think?
I think so.
Anyway.
Unless some billionaire figured to say, you know.
So if you think that David LaPuma pointed this out from Cape May Bird Observatory, if you think that there are 10,000 birds in the world, and he's seen over 6,000 of them, he's seen like 6 in 10 birds of the world. So now I'm kind of wondering, it's like, you know, when you're sitting around the table and talking about different birds, is he just going to be perpetually the guy that's like, meh, seen it? Although rumor has it, he did not get ivory gull. I have a bird. Noah Stryker doesn't have... Noah Stryker. Bobby Newport.
I'm sure you can hold that over his head.
Anyway, it's an amazing feat.
That is, it is
I'm
an
glad
amazing...
someone else did it, not me. I could not list that hard. I can barely list. Even though I kind of actually know what thanks to the Ivory Gull and thanks to the Bird's Eye app, I actually know what my North American list is now.
What is it?
I don't want to say. I feel weird saying... I don't know what my world list is, but...
Is it less than 1,000?
For North America?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, you can only really get about 700 in North America.
Oh, okay. So you kind of suck compared to this guy.
I've seen over half. Well, no, I'm going to clear 600. If I don't clear it in Florida, I'll clear it in Alaska in May for sure.
So you've seen... I'm
590.
I'm sorry. I was about to say something that was totally going to come off as condescending.
You? But no, my little peach fuzz.
Well, I don't like to condescend to you, but like in context, because this was a moment for me. It was like because I know you, with like everything that you have done, you have seen 10% of the that really just sort of drew it into focus for me. I know that
I know
this
that
is in North America
in the worldwide, I've like, definitely holy, seen over 1,000.
Well, sure, but it's like holy shit, like that really like. Blows my mind because I know like you and that's like that like puts it into perspective because you're an amazing birder. No, you really are, and I know like everything that you know about birds and just like that, like, so even if you've seen like 1,000 birds, if this guy has seen like 6 times the birds, that really is like, I cannot conceive of that because I know what you have done.
So, if you understand what I'm saying. So since I accidentally, and the only reason I know my list is because I use the Bird's Eye app and you can kind of like check off.
Sure.
And I wanted to do that because I had some key trips coming up this year. And I wanted to, so if I was in Alaska, I wanted my Bird's Eye app to just be like, hey, this bird is here, FYI, mm-hmm. you should go see it. And so, and I was really honest because like before when I've used the Bird's Eye app, it's like, oh, Eurasian widgeon. Well, I saw that in Israel, so I don't necessarily need to put Eurasian, you know, mm-hmm. I'll just count that on North America. But I left all that stuff off. And so I was about where I thought I was. I was close to 600. So, yeah, so I'm 10 away from 600 right now. And then,
did you count pigeon?
Yeah, you can totally count feral rock pigeon.
All right. I was going to try to save you one.
No, I think there's some, like, feral species I can get when I go to Florida. Because I'm going to go to the southern tip of Florida. I'm just going to bird the tip.
All right.
I'll be hanging around in Everglades and Biscayne National Park for the next 2 weeks for work. So I should be able to get some birds there. I doubt I'll get...
Okay, we're at 25 minutes, so we have another super important story to talk about.
It kind of has to do with the ivory gull. Okay. Laura Erickson put up a blog about why it's okay to feed an ivory gull versus why it's not okay to feed a gull. Because that has come up ad nauseum on a lot of the birding pages. Okay. And so essentially, this is a bird that is a scavenger and used to foraging off the leavings of things like polar bears. Mm-hmm. And so putting out leavings for this bird, it's not the same as like using a live mouse and aiming it towards a road. You can read the more nuanced end of it, but... Yeah, I found myself like, I don't see what the big deal is about feeding gulls. We already have a culture of feeding gulls. This one is a total scavenger. This one is also really, I mean, everything you read about them, even in the Sibley app, when you get to the ivory gull page, is like very tame. And that's because they're used to hanging out with polar bears. Sure. Like humans, what are you going to do to us? We hang with polar bears.
Okay. Anything else?
Let's talk about David Bowie and how much he meant to us.
Well, what does everybody should go birding.
David Bowie died as he lived. He died on his own terms. You should do that. You should bird on your own terms and then die.
And that has to do with birding what exactly?
I don't know. It's just David Bowie's a cultural icon.
I agree with that.
David Bowie was very important to me in my teenage years.
Okay, you could have totally gone with like him as a barn owl in Labyrinth or...
And I actually put that photo up on the Bird Chick Facebook page. It's like every barn owl from now on is going to be David Bowie to me.
Sure.
It kind of already was. Every barn owl I see will be named Jared.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm still kind of down from that.
Well,
I'm sad we're never going to get any new weird music from David Bowie.
So... But you have all the music that he made already. All right. Any other news stories?
No, nothing else here. I need to pack. So there's not going to be a podcast for a couple of weeks unless I can find someone to replace Bill while I'm in the southern tip of Florida. Hey, you guy, looking at that barn owl. Come over here.
To interview a crocodile. Okay, this is a Bird Chick podcast number 202.
Alligator?
If you have any questions for Sharon, you can email her. She's sharon@birdchick.com. You can talk to her on Twitter.
Don't send me your nominations. Send those to @bsteitler on Twitter.
Sure. Actually, send them to Sharon and she'll forward them to me.
No.
No, she won't. And we will be back soon.
Theory Latch. I think that's the person who told you you were pitiful.